It's Pride 365 Radio. I'm Houston with Laid Back Luke, absolute legend.
Hey, good to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, of course. It's our pleasure and our honor. What have you been up to recently?
Well,
I know it's a loaded question.
Yeah, I did a bit of touring around the world and working on tracks and stuff. Good to be here in Miami Music Week.
Yeah.
A few days ago, I was at Tomorrowland Winter. Now I'm here. I'm about to get on a boat to Ultra, you know, so that's how it goes.
What has changed the most for you from, you know, then till now?
Everything. Literally everything. You know, from playing with vinyls to all the digital media that's out there right now, but also social media coming in. And for instance, when I learned how to produce, there was no YouTube yet.
Yeah.
So I had to learn myself and figure it out myself.
Right.
Now there's AI as well, and you know, everything has changed.
Yeah.
But what I do see and recognize is that the human aspect of it, like a sense of community and the love for big beats and big sounds, is still the same.
That's what's always been good about EDM and the dance, you know, community in general, is that it's the most inclusive. Everyone's welcome. Come as you are. No one, you know, gets uptight about it, which is great.
Yes.
Because I think it's the only music format that is really like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I also want to touch base on this. Considering we're on a Pride radio, is that it started in the gay community.
It did, yep.
And I have so much respect for that. Like, my roots in dance music are, so for instance, in Amsterdam, there was a huge scene, and all of the big DJs were playing there, and the vibe was incredible.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's the roots of dance music, and not many people know that.
Yeah, it's surprising that it's kind of, it's been woven in the fabric of our community for, I don't know, 40, 50 years you know, at this point. It's been there since the beginning.
Yeah.
And as a format, as a music style, the dance community has never let us go. Like, it's never walked, which is great, because other music, not speaking about artists specifically, but trends come and go, but the gay community and the dance community, hand in hand, all the way. Yeah. Looking back, you know, back in your vinyl days, I was talking to Jonas Blue earlier, actually, and he did a whole show where he mixed vinyl for the first time in a long time. Do you do that? Do you ever go back to vinyl just to see if, you know, you got the skills? I'm sure you do, but, you know, it can get dusted off a little bit.
No, I do, and I had some turntables in my studio about a year ago, and for me, it's like riding a bike, because I'm literally almost classically trained in DJing with vinyl, where I got so precise that I could mix tracks using just the pitch fader.
Wow.
Just and I used to DJ with three turntables.
Yeah.
So I'm well versed, and this was at least 7 years of my professional career that I DJed with vinyl.
Yeah.
And so whenever I'm back, it's like riding a bike. Like,
right.
All of it's still rooted in my
brain. It's
still
there somewhere, yeah.
And the feeling, though, of writing beats on vinyl is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, there's nothing like it. And I'm encouraged by the fact that every time I go to the store, like Target or Walmart, there's a larger vinyl section. Like, it's making a comeback.
Yes.
And I don't know if it just stays as a niche product, or if it becomes, you know, a bigger world like it did before, having a record store that you can go into and, like, flip through stuff. You know, how are you primarily discovering music these days? Like, is it, because record stores, I guess, exist to a degree, but, you know, you're probably just finding everything online, I guess, right?
Yeah, no, like I said, it's such a different time now.
Yeah.
It's happening on TikTok.
Yeah.
It's always happening on TikTok.
Yeah.
That's where you get the first music, the biggest influencers, and what people are tapped into as well, because people are on their phones all day. So if something's trending, then that means, you know, you can play it out as a DJ. So,
Do you find yourself scrolling through looking for ideas, or just something hits you as you're scrolling by and you're
It just hits me, really.
Yeah.
Or someone flags it for me. And I wish there was a more, like, tangible way to do that, because there's so much out there as
It's a little overwhelming at times, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
I'd say. But it's still happening, yeah. You know what's interesting? I was playing here at the pool last night.
Yeah.
And I put some, like, TikTok trending mashup on. And because it was an older crowd, they didn't respond to it.
Interesting.
Whereas a couple of weeks ago, I was for a way younger crowd, and they were all like, oh, yeah, of course. Huh.
So it's definitely generational then.
Yeah, because all of those people are probably more on Instagram than on TikTok.
Yeah, isn't that something? Like, yeah.
There's another generational gap.
It is now
from Instagram to TikTok even, yeah.
Yeah, Instagram is, it's funny to think of Instagram as being seen as like the older generation's social media, but it kind of is, you know, all the...
You know what I was Googling the other day?
Yeah.
If I could still use the sunglasses emoji. And apparently I can't, because that means I'm old if I use that.
Really?
And so the younger kids,
they
substitute it with either the loudly crying emoji or like the skull emoji. Or a fire emoji. That's the new sunglasses emoji.
Okay, good to know. Thank you. Because I had no idea. So now I've been embarrassing myself and I had no idea.
Yeah.
Because I know they changed the way they do like the heart hands, you know, like like our team does
I'm
it like this. But now they do like some backwards thing with their fingers. And I'm like, or just this. Like they,
just that?
Yeah. And it's hard to see from the stage, I would imagine, if someone's doing that.
Yeah. No, I'm in a complete crisis because I've been throwing up hard hands forever.
Right.
And now I need to change.
Yeah, yeah. Just to stay, you know, seem like you're part of the cool kids, I guess. No, it's just kidding. You're like the king cool kid, so. Everyone should be following what Luke does. All these shows that you've been, like, do you have festivals lined up for the rest of the year at this point?
Yes.
Or, okay.
Yep.
Yeah, anything you can share and talk about?
Have
you been
huge.
Announced?
Okay. I'm back at EDC, for instance, for the first time in, 8 years?
Okay.
And I'm doing a back-to-back with DJ Chucky. So it's going to be like a throwback Dirty Dutch set. And I'm back at Tomorrowland, taking over the stage with my Super UME again.
Yeah.
Yeah, big things up ahead, and obviously doing Ultra today, and that's also a return since years.
Yeah.
So it's been a good year.
Yeah. Yeah, you keep it fresh, and you know, but you have this legacy that you build upon as well. Is there a song from your past that you're surprised still has, like, you know, relevance that people are listening to and vibing out to that they might not even realize that you had a hand in?
Well, yeah. I mean...
Does it surprise you?
Show Me Love always hits, obviously.
Yeah.
But the fact that Turbulence is being played at every sports game in the arenas over in the, over here in the States is crazy.
Yeah.
Like, we didn't set out to make a stadium anthem.
Right.
But it turned into that. And it's such a staple now.
Yeah.
Fun fact, it started with New York Jets, which...
Oh, okay.
The New York Jets would hit Turbulence. That's the whole thing. So they started playing that at every match.
And it just grew from there?
Other teams saw it, and they loved the energy, and now it's a thing.
That's so crazy how something can take on a life of its own that you never intended.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you ever come across something of yours on TikTok, and someone's using it in a way you would never have thought?
Not really, but I did this track with Steve Aoki and Bruce Buffer, who's the announcer for UFC.
Oh, yeah.
And... when we released it, it didn't do that much. But only a month ago, I saw George St. Pierre, who's a legacy UFC fighter.
Yeah.
He used that track while he was training outside in the ice in Canada.
Wow.
And I was like, because I'm a fan. And I was like, that's crazy that he uses that.
Yeah, yeah. It's gotta feel rewarding, right?
Yeah.
You know, and is there you know, a song that you've done where you thought maybe it should have been used in a certain way and then wasn't, you know, or does that ever surprise you?
Well, I can tell you about the second release I ever did for Mixmash Records, which I see as one of my most brilliant EP that I've ever released, but also one of the most unsuccessful.
Oh, really?
No one knows what it is, and it's interesting because I think it's brilliant.
Yeah, yeah.
But the world never caught on.
Interesting.
And it has to do with the way it's been produced and what feeling I wanted to have, and it never clicked.
Huh.
And it's funny, I have a couple of tracks like that which are just laying around that no one cares about.
Yeah, do you ever just drop them in a set to see?
Yeah, and this EP as well, I dropped it a couple of times, and the crowd ran away. I was like, man,
oh,
it's just me, isn't it?
I've always wondered, because, I mean, you have so many hits, but then I guess they all can't be winners. But
that's
it's
right.
Like, you don't want them to actively repel people.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in your set today, how long are you playing? Like, is it a good
at
chunk
Ultra
of time?
Is going to be an hour.
An hour, yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. Do you already have that mapped out, laid out, or do you go with the flow?
It's interesting. I don't do that. Yeah.
Okay.
I just go with the flow.
Okay.
So I know which one? Most of the time, I don't even know which track I'll start with.
Right.
It all depends on the moment, what the DJ is playing before me, what the energy is. And I'm super old school like that.
Yeah.
So today as well at the EDMAs, last night I played the same stage.
Okay.
But today I played the stage and the sun is out and there's people just chilling at the bar and it's different.
Yeah.
So you adapt. And that's still a superpower that a whole lot of young DJs don't know about.
Yeah.
Because I could be sitting here and I'd be like, yeah, I worked 6 months to prepare this Ultra set. And in my head, it doesn't work that way because what if?
Yeah.
Insert anything.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you're up there, you're doing it live, you're not just hitting play necessarily, which, you know, not saying anyone does that, but, you know, it happens. It has happened.
Well, it's just much stronger if you can gather a crowd with the exact right track that they need for the moment.
And at Ultra, people are ready to party, and even if it rains, they're sticking around, they're staying there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. What's your favorite festival to do? Like, in all the years that you've done them, like, what's the best, what sticks out in your memory?
Without a doubt, Tomorrowland.
Okay.
Tomorrowland, I can't say anything bad about them because from A to Z, from the customer to the bathrooms, to the camping site, to how they treat their artists, what kind of food there's backstage, sound quality, stage quality, everything is top-notch at Tomorrowland.
That's good. That's good to know because it's like you want to take care of the reason people are coming, but then take care of the people that are there too.
Well,
so,
but interestingly enough, I don't think this could work in America because there's so much cost involved as well to take care of
so many
things. You know, because of that, they would make less than an Ultra Music Festival or an EDC.
Right.
But they want this type of quality. And what you get in return is that if they put the ticket sales up, it's gone within 4 seconds. You know, it's sold out within 4 seconds because of the accumulation of years and years and years of delivering this type of quality.
Right, right. And Ultra here is relying on the hospitality of the city that it's in, like the hotels and things of that nature. They're not really under their control either, but maybe that's what model works here in America.
Well, and you know what the Tomorrowland people do? They actually involve the people that are in this little village that they host it in.
Yeah.
They make them work for them. They give them free tickets.
Oh,
and
that's awesome.
It's also welcoming.
No, that's really great. You've seen the festival industry, you know, explode, of course, and you were there at the beginning of it. How did that even come to be? Like, do you have a story like where, you know, you're like, oh, first big festival, like, this is interesting? Because as a DJ, like, that wasn't always an outlet, right? Like, you were mostly in clubs and concert, you know, doing things like that. So,
well, growing up in the Netherlands, we were really early adopters. And, I just remember going to a big festival myself, which in the Netherlands was the Dance Valley Festival.
Okay.
And I do remember, and I'm bringing this up because he was here today at the pool as well. I remember seeing Carl Cox DJ there.
Yeah, wow.
And he was using 3 vinyl decks.
Okay.
And he was scratching on the third one. And I just remember seeing him doing that on a huge stage. This held like, wow, 50,000 people.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, I want to be that.
Right, you want to do that?
I want to do that. I started following him around, and funnily enough, because he supported my tracks, he was responsible for my global breakthrough. So it's kind of like full circle, right?
Yeah, that's awesome. I didn't realize that. Yeah, and that's kind of circling back to connections and meeting people. That's kind of what this week in Miami is all about, right?
Yes.
Have you made new connections this week, too? I'd imagine, you know, every time you come, you probably meet someone new.
It's interesting because I'm well connected.
Yep.
And the reason why I'm here is to actually meet new talent. What I love is, it's just because I do this online. I do this on my YouTube channel as well. I try and get the new generation in and help them and motivate them.
Yeah.
And so to do that out in these streets, to meet people face to face and to give them a word of wisdom or give them some inspiration. That's the gold for me.
So, to mentor everybody. Yeah, that's it's great because you're keeping the industry going. You know, it's the next generation.
Next generation.
Yeah. Wow. It's been great talking to you. Thank you for taking the time. I appreciate it, and I know you're busy, so I'll let you get to it. But thank you again.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome.